Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Kuf Beis in Meseches Ksubis. We are learning this Bezchus Rafua Shalema, Aryeh Ben Rina, and three other cholim who were mercilessly attacked by a terrorist driving a car yesterday at the junction, not far from here, in Gush Etzion. All of Cholei Yisrael, particularly those who are attacked simply because they're a Jew, are dear to their heart. In this case, Aryeh Ben Rina is also dear to my heart because he is the grandson of Rav Aaron Bina, Rosh Shiva of Nativ Aryeh, and the nephew of Rav Hanan Bina, who I'm zelcha to work with in the Old City. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu send him a refuah shalema. The Gemara on the top of Kuf Beis Amid Aleph is going to introduce us to the halachos of Shtar Tnaim in the context of explaining the Mishnah in the beginning of the 12th Perek that we had in yesterday's daf, and then we're going to have other explanations to what is the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we had on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara then will go on for an analysis of the power of the Kinyan of Tnaim on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara then will get involved with the halachos of Shtaros in general, as well as Shtar Kedushin and Shtar Gerushin in terms of the halachos of Lishma. Let's pick up with the first word on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara suggests that our Mishnah is not dependent on the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we had learned yesterday. Yesterday, the Gemara had described that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that if a person writes in a shtar without witnesses, I owe you 100, then you're going to be chayiv, 1 mana. Reish Lakish disagrees. In our Mishnah, we had learned that a man wrote to his wife that he obligates himself to give support to her daughter, and the support is binding. The Gemara suggested that would seem to be that is the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Says the Gemara on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, loy, bishtari psikta. Our Mishnah is not talking about a case of where he simply wrote that he's going to give her that amount of money. Rather, there was a regular shtar with the signature of Edim, but it's a unique shtar of Tnayim, which is called Shtari Psikta. Ukid Rav Gidl, and it's the special Shtar Tnayim of Rav Gidl, which is, by the way, Tnayim that are written today in some circles, which the parents of the Chasan and Kala obligate to support in the ways that are stipulated in the Shtar Tnayim. This was a way Shtar Tnayim were written for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Many now have followed the custom of Rav Moshe Feinstein not to have a Shtar Tnayim in engagement. No one promises anything in many circles today, and in any halachic binding way. But Rav Gidl HaMerav introduced a halachically binding text of Shtar Tnayim. De'amar Rav Gidl HaMerav, kama tanois l'bincha kach v'kach. In the Shtar they write that the son is going to bring in such and such to the marriage. V'kama tanos on the bitcha kach v'kach. Amdu v'kidshu kanu. Hein hein hadvarim haniknim ba'amira. And these agreements work as binding simply because they said that they're going to do this. Rashi explains that it's written in a shtar, but there's no kinyan that's made. And therefore, the chidush of the shtari psikta, the chidush of shtar tnaim, is that a kinyan is not made. It's only devarim. There's no other transaction that is being executed. Nevertheless, the halachi is hein hein devarim haniknim ba'amira. The point of the broader context is that the Gemara suggests that that's different. Our Mishnah, where he promises through hein hein dvarim haniknim ba'amira, is different than the case of ha'omer l'chaver ani chayv l'chamana that appears 9 lines from the bottom, or even less, of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. And the difference is that there, as the Gemara had understood, there was no signing of witnesses at all. Here, there is a signing of witnesses. So therefore, the Mishnah is different. So now the Gemara begins an attempt for another source of what is the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Tashma, come here, I'll bring you a proof. Kasav l'koyin. In Bechoris, we learn that if a person has a child who is a firstborn who he needs to redeem with five slime, and he writes to the Kohen, Shani chayiv l'cha chamesh slime, I obligate myself five slime, chayiv liten lo chamesh slime, then he must give the five slime. Ubnoi ein apodu, but nevertheless, his son is not redeemed. And the reason for that is until the money is given, the son is not redeemed, and the shtar is not a halachic pidyon. Now, on the despite the fact it's not halachic pidyon, he's chayiv liten lo chamesh slime. So there we see, like Rabbi Yochanan, that is simply writing that your chayiv is going to be binding. Says Gemara, no. Shani yosem, there it's different. The mishub le doraisa. There was already a shibud doraisa, and that's why he has to pay the five slum. But simply writing that I'm obligating myself is not enough according to Rabbi Yochanan. Tosa says, on Kufal Famabez, in Dibra Amaschil Ihachi, that the reason why it's not enough is because it could be considered not serious. If there aren't Aiden, then they could say that it's a joke. Iachi says the Gemara Amai Kosaf. If that's so, that it's not binding because they wrote it, but because there's a Chiyuv Min HaTorah to redeem your son, Amai Kosaf, then why do you write it? Kedei Levar Lo Kohen, answers the Gemara. In order to show that he's obligating himself to give that five son to the Kohen, but the son is not redeemed until the money is given. Says the Gemara, Yachi benoi amai ena podi. If that would be so, then why do we say that the son is not redeemed? He chose the Kohen, he should be considered redeemed. Kidu ula. And even more than that, the Gemara is asking, why do we say that this is not a proper redemption? Answers the Gemara, Kidu ula damar ula dvar Torah podui likishiyite. That really min haTorah, when you give the money, the son is redeemed. However, umaytayma amru bino ena padui. What's the reason we said that the child is not redeemed? Why do we form it that way? We wanted to emphasize that it's not the shtar that does the redemption, but rather what does the redemption is the giving of the money. So we have no proof in regards to the sugya of our Mishnah, to the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We have no proof from Bechoros. Now, we continue our tour of Shas. We go to Gittin and Bava Basra. Amar Rava Kitanoi. It would seem that the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you could obligate yourself by writing an IOU without the signing of witnesses, revolves around another issue. Arev is a guarantor. Hayotze Achachitum Shtaros. There was a shtar. It has the signatures of witnesses, and on the bottom, underneath the signature of the witnesses, there is somebody who writes to be a guarantor. Goyvim minichasim b'nei chorim. The halacha is that the Baal Chov, let's say Reuven obligates himself to Shimon, so the Baal Chov Shimon can collect from the guarantor on the bottom of the shtar, let's call him Binyamin, but he can only collect from b'nei chorim. Rashi points out that there is a fundamental rule that exists in regards to collecting from Shibudim. When it comes to a milval peh, if you have a loan, which is a verbal hischayvus, I borrowed money, but it wasn't put in a shtar. That's what I emphasize when I say verbal. It wasn't written in a shtar. So then, if you want to collect your money, you could only collect from my liquid possessions, but you cannot collect from those things that are on lien of karka that were once mine. You cannot collect from what's referred to as mishubadim. If, however, the loan was made at the shtar, you, who I owe money to, hand me right a shtar, then you could collect from nechasa mishubadim. Rashi explains that over here, Shimon cannot collect from Binyamin the Aref from mishubadim because there were no edim, there were no witnesses on the Arev, because you have a shtar, the witnesses, and then what was added afterwards is the guarantor. Therefore, you can only collect from Bnei Chorim. Maisa ba'al lefnei Rishmal v'omer goyvim nechasim Bnei Chorim. And this was the Pesach of Rabbi Shmal. Amru lo Benanis, eina goyvim loyim nechasim Bnei Chorim, loyim nechasim Mishubadim. While Benanis disagreed and said, it's not halachically significant at all, because the hischaivus of the Arev, the obligation that the Arev made, didn't take place with the concurrence of Eidim. It's written under the shtar of the Eidus. Amar lo, Rabbi Shmuel said to the Benanis, Lama, why doesn't he collect from Bnei Chorim? Amaloi Benanis explained, if you have Reuven, God forbid, choking Shimon in a marketplace, and what's a chaver? And Binyamin comes along, a guarantor, and he says, let him go and I'm going to give you $1 million. Potter! Then he's potter. And let's say even Reuven owed Shimon money, and he says, I'll pay the debt. Potter! Shelo al emunasai helvehu. Because the guarantor didn't come to strengthen the actual loan. He came to save Shimon. So then that's not considered a real hischaivus. Suggests the Gemara, Lema Rabbi Yochanan Darma Karibi Shmuel. So too over here, Rabbi Yochanan is not concerned that the guy is not serious, and if he says that he's going to pay, he has to pay, like Rabbi Shmuel. For Reish Lakish, Darma Karibi Benanis, but Reish Lakish holds like Rabbi Benanis. Just like Benanis had said, Shelo al Munasai Hilveyu, that the loan was not legitimated by the guarantor, and therefore the guarantor's statement is not serious. So too over here, there's no reason to believe that the writing of Chayiv Ani Lecha Mane is significant. Says the Gemara, Aliba de Benanis Kulei Amalo Pligi. No, that's not a proof. According to Benanis, there is no argument. Says Rashi, 7 lines from the bottom, Kloma. Bahashapir Kamit de Rabbi Yochanan Kirishmal. Rabbi Yochanan would agree that according to Benanis is Potter. Because, explains Rashi, Tahashta Uma Arev de Shibuda Doraisu, Arev which is a Shibuda Doraisa, yet the only time that Benanis as a guarantor is going to be Chayiv is it's Al Emunasai Hilveyu, that he's there from the beginning and he concretizes the actual loan. However, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, I'm arguing, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you're going to be chayiv. If you say chayiv ani lichin mana, says the Gemara on the top of the base, keep pligi aliba de Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ki Rabbi Shmuel, Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish is going to say, adkan lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hasam, el de shayich le, lishibuda daraisa. When did Rabbi Shmuel say it? When we're talking about a shibuda daraisa of Arev, that's a din daraisa, as Rashi pointed out, based on the pasuk, anoichi ervenu. So then, in such a case, then if there's any indication that person is being making himself a guarantor, then it's going to be binding. But over here, there is no concept of shibud daraisa because he's just saying chayev ani lecha, and there's no source that is a shibud daraisa, and therefore it's not going to be binding according to Reish Lakish, even according to Rabbi Yishmael. We've now abandoned suggesting that the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is dependent either on our Mishnah, or the case in Bechoros, or the case of Machlokes of the scope of Arev as argued about between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi. Now we put a big period, and the Gemara says, wait, we just learned a very important halacha here. Tnayim, Shtar Tnayim, analyzes the Gemara, 5 lines on the top, and Guf Beis on the base. Gufa Amarav Gidul Amarav. Kamat Nesin Lebincha, Kach Lekach, Kamat Nesin Lebitcha, Kach Lekach, Amu Vekidshu, Konu, Hein Hein Advarim Aniknim Ba'amir. That's what we learned on the top of Amar Aleph, and that is Shtar Tnayim. Shtar Tnayim being that a person who obligates themselves for their children's marriage, even though there was no kinyan, the shtar will obligate that chiyuv even without a kinyan. This is one of these unique halachos of hein hein dvarim aniknim b'mira. Amar Rava mistabra milsa derab b'bitay nara. Rava comes along and he begins to minimize the scope of Rav Gidol Amar Rav's halacha. He says that only applies to a daughter who's a naira. The kamati ano liyode. There is a hana that's reaching the father's hand. Then we could say, wait a sec, you know what? The father of the girl's getting something. So if he obligates himself, even without doing a kinyan, we'll believe it. We'll take it as significant. And therefore, the shtar tnayim is going to work. When it comes to a naira, so the halacha is that the father is entitled to kesef kedushin. Now, the Rishonim point out that in itself, that this is dependent on a sugya in Kedushin on Daf Gimel, as well as a sugya on Daf Memches earlier in Meseches Ksubis. Excuse me, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, and that is, does the father always get the Kesef Kedushin when she's a Naira? Rashi by us seems to say that he does, because Rashi here says Kesef Kedusha Le'avia. Either way, there is definitely a time that the father does get the Kesef Kedusha by a Naira, and therefore Rava comments, Amar Rava Mestavra Milsa de Rabba Bita Naira de Kamati Ana Liyadeh. Avo Bulgaris de Lomati Ana Liyadeh. When it comes to Bulgaris, then the Kesef Kedusha goes to the girl herself. Lo, then in such a case, the father doesn't have the incentive and doesn't have the desire to so easily pass along the Nechasim into the marriage. Express the Gemara of Elokim, that's an expression, Amarav Afilu Bogeres, an expression, my goodness, my gosh, my Elokim. Rav said even by Geres, Bogeres, Dilotei Mahachi, Avia Ben, Mayanasa Siliyade. It's not dependent on getting the Kesef Kedushin, because we say that the same applies for the father of the son, and the son gives Kedushin. The father of the son definitely doesn't get any money, neither does the son. The hana that their children are getting married is enough to create the Gemara Hakinyan. Amarei Ravina Leravashi. Dvarim alolu nitni likosev, oiloi nitnu likosev. When the Chachamim said that it works, should it be written down and then the Nechasim obligated of the parents, that even their lands will become part of the Kinyan? Or it's not supposed to be written down, and you could only collect from Bnei Chorin. Eisvei, Ravina asks Ravashi. Let's analyze from our Mishnah, the concluding line of the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, the beginning of Perek HaNoi Seisa Isha, was HaPikchino Yikoisvin, Al Menashe Ezon Es Bitcha Chomei Shanim Kozman She'at Imi, that the smart people used to write that when they promise to support a woman that they're marrying's daughter from a previous marriage, they'll say, Kozman She'at Imi, only when you're with me. My Koisvin, what does it mean that they write? Must be that they actually write the shtar. So Gemara says, no, maybe it doesn't mean that they write it, because you're right, no pun intended. If they would write the shtar, so then in such a case, then we would be able to prove in regard to shtar tznayim as well. However, says the Gemara, Aymrin, it means that they just say it. V'kari leila amira ksiva. And when we say Amira, we really mean Ksiva. That's quite a chiddush. Ask Gemara Inva Tanan. Then we learn in Mishnah Koysel Ishtay Dinu Dvar Meinim Nechseich V'Tani Rabbi Chia Ha'Imer LeIshtay. And Rabbi Chia taught that it means Ha'Imer LeIshtay. It really does mean that, even though it says Koysel Ishtay Dinu Dvarim, which seems to be that you have to write. Rabbi Chia taught us even by saying it, one could fulfill Dinu Dvarim. So therefore, we see that there are times that the Mishnah uses the word Kaisev, and it really means Amira. Tashma, come in here, I will bring you a proof in regards to the question of Ksivas Hashtar, that when it comes particularly to the Tnayim, that the halacha is that it's written, Ein Kaisvin Shtare Erisin Unisuin, when it comes to Shtar Kedushin. And Shtar Nisuin, that's an interesting question. What is Shtar Nisuin? You only write Shtar Erisin, which is a Shtar Kedushin, Elamidash Shneim, that both couples want to get into the marriage. Hamidash Shneim Kaisvin. We see that if the Das of both of them, then you write it. So we see when we say the Shtaros, and in a moment the Gemara is going to suggest even the Shtar Tznayim, it has to be written. My Lav Shtari Psikta. We see that Shtari Psikta also have to be written, says the Gemara. Lo, as we explained earlier, Shtare Eris and Mamish, it refers to the Shtar that says, Hareat Mikudeshesli. But when it comes to Tnayim, it doesn't have to be written down. And it won't make Mishubadim obligated as part of the Tnayim. Kidrav Papa Vrav Shravya. In regards to Shtar Eris, it needs to be done in the way of Midas Shneim.
with the awareness of both of the couples. The Itmar Kasul Lishma V'Shalom Midaita. It was written with the intention of this particular couple, but she's not aware. Rabba V'Ravina Amri Mikudeshes. The Rav Shravya Amr Eini Mikudeshes. They're of the opinion Sam Kudeshes. It has to be done Midasa Isha, and that's how we pass. Okay, so we still want to know the Shtar Tanaim get written down, and once it's written down, could you then you'll be able to collect from Mishubadim. Tashma, we continue our journey through Shas. Here we quote from Gittin, Mesu Benosehem. In a case of where a woman's husbands die. In fact, I mentioned that it's discussed in Gittin, but of course, this is coming from our Mishnah. So if the husbands died, Benosehem, Nizonos Minichasim Binechorin. The daughters are fed from the Nechasim Binechorin. Vihi, but the stepdaughter, Nizonos Nechasim Mishubadim, Bneshi Kabbalas Chov. So the halacha is that normally the daughters are supported only from the Bnei Chorim, but not from Nechasim Mishubadim. However, the irony is that the stepdaughter gets from Nechasim Mishubadim because the husband obligated himself to take care of his stepdaughter as a Baal Chov. So what do you see over there? We see that what the stepfather obligated himself was obligation of a shtar. And a shtar you could collect from Mishubadim. Therefore, there's a Baal Aschov. Answers the Gemara, no. There it's not just a statement that he's going to support her. And you can't infer about the statement that he's going to support her of the Mishnah to the case of Shtar Tnayim, where there is a statement of his chayvas. Hachem ma'eskin b'shikanu miyado. The case of our Mishnah was a kinyan was done to obligate, and once a kinyan is done, then the shtar could be written and have all of the effect of shibudim as well. Asks the Gemara, yachi banos nami? But that would be so if there was a schaivus that's done, then for his daughter also, not only his stepdaughter, she you collect from the property of Mishubadim, for the daughter as well. Answers the Gemara, b'shekana lazai v'loi kana lazai. There was a kinyan that was done for the stepdaughter and not for his own daughter. Umay paska, and where did the chachamim get this psak e davoy b'shas kinyan mahani la kinyan for the stepdaughter, where he said before she was going to support her and he did a kinyan? It works. Banos to lo avu b'shas kinyan, but the daughters that were not around at the time of the kinyan, he never did a maisa kinyan to obligate himself. Lo mahani. Law kinyan, then the kinyan that he makes with his new wife only obligates his stepdaughter and not from the children that come from their relationship. Says the Gemara, Milo askina davoy b'shas hakinyan. Is it not possible that he had daughters that were around b'shas kinyan? Ve'echidam, he could go into Girsha v'hadra. If he remarries the same wife, then his daughters were around as well. And then in such a case, he was kind of miyado, and then why are his daughters not bound and entitled to the nechasim mishubadim? Ela, says the Gemara, we have to reject the previous pshat. Why is it that the stepdaughter gets from mishubadim and not the daughter herself? E delesa b'tnai bezdin mahani lakinyin. When it comes to the stepdaughter, there isn't a tnai bezdin that requires his stepdaughters to be supported from his nechasim. And that's what our perek begins with, and that is that if he obligates himself verbally, then he's chayiv, and then mahani lakinyan, the kinyan works, even to obligate mishubadim. Banos disno b'tnai bezdin, but the daughters where there's a tnai bezdin, that we learned earlier, that there's a takana of bezdin from the Mishnah nun beis and beis, shem mizonos habanos, that the daughters are supported even after the husband passes away, then lo mahani lo kinyan. In such a case, the kinyan doesn't obligate. Asks the Gemara, migra gari? Because there's a tnai bezdin, so they're worst off? Now the Gemara attempts another answer. Ella benos of hainu tam kim disno, but tnai bezdin, emar tsrore atfisinu. You're right. Just because a tnai bezdin shouldn't make them worse off, but once there's a tnai bezdin, then we assume that he gave them money. Tsrore atfisinu. Before he died, we assume he gave them a package of money, and because he knows that there's a tnai bezdin, and therefore they never instituted shibudim for his own daughters, but for a stepdaughter who we need to protect, so then in such a case, she'll be able to collect even from the Shibudim. We also learned something else in our Mishnah, and the Gemara begins to analyze, and that is that if you have two men who have obligated to a stepdaughter, then lo yomer rishon, we had this on the last narrow line on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, that the first husband should not say, oh, the second husband is going to already be taking care of her. Rather, the Mishnah's aunt, only when she comes to me, I'll support her. Rather, the Mishnah says that the halacha is that one gives her food and the other gives her cash. Amar Chizda Zoysel Meres Bas Eitzel Ima. In general, a girl is found amongst the mother. And therefore, we have an expression in our Mishnah that he needs to go to her. Ela Moilich La Mezonis, to the place that the mother is. Ask the Gemara, Mimai de Bigdola Skina, what's your old diuk? That even a Bas Gedola, how do you know we're talking about Bas Gedola? Dilma Biktana Skina, maybe we're talking about a younger girl. Umishum Maisa Shahaya, and the assumption is made that she's by her mother because of the following Maisa. The son, Misha Mais Vinich Ben Katan. If someone dies and leaves a small son, Li'imo, Yorjeav Oimrim, then the inheritors of the father could say, Ye Godal Etzleinu, that we want to have him. Vi'imo Meres Yehe B'ni Godal Etzli, Menichin Al Sa'etzel Imo, we leave the child by the mother, and nevertheless the child is fed from the estate, even though the brothers are the Yorshim. Ve'im Menichin Al Sa'etzel Roy Li'Yorsha. And we don't put him next to the brothers, even though they are the ones who write Liyarsha. Now we get to Maisa Haya Vishachtuhu Erev Arishon. Awful, awful story. They left the child next to the brothers, and the brothers killed him, murdered him. Why? So that they could get his Yerusha. Hence, we see the Takana by Ektana, that she's always by the mother. We can't prove in regards to the question of whether a bas is Eitzel Ha'ima. Says the Gemara, Im kein lisni l'makom shehi, then why does it say specifically to the place wherever the mother is? Continues the Gemara on the top of Amarav, my l'makom she'ima, and why did the Mishnah say specifically the place of the mother? It's going to be a davar pashut, that if we're talking about a ketana, so then in such a case she's going to be by the mother, because of the Maisa Shehaya. And therefore, why do we emphasize Makom She'ima? It's coming to emphasize something. Shamis Mina Bas Eitzela Eim. It's coming to tell us that the daughter is always by the mother. Loshna Gdola Veloshna Ktana. Doesn't matter whether she's a Ktana or a Gdola, she'll always be by the mother. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Kuf Be'ez in Maseches Ksubis. To review, in our daf, we learned the halachos of Shtar Tnayim, that's Dvarim Haniknim Ba'amira. Later on in our daf, we saw that there is an open question, which the Gemara did not entirely conclude, and that is whether this is a Dvar Hanitno Likasev, and that in such a case, it would be binding in a Shtar, and you could collect for the Tnayim from the Mishubadim. And our Gemara attempted different proofs. Ultimately, the Gemara did not bring a proof. And this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that even if it's written down, so then in such a case, it's not gove mi mishubadim, it would only be gove mi b'nei chorim. And the Gemara suggests that that is the power of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is suggesting in the beginning of Perek HaNoisei Se'isha that there was a statement that was binding between husband and wife about the support of a father to his stepdaughter, but a kinyan was not made, and therefore it's not involved with the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where over there wasn't even a fully valid shtar. The Gemara attempts to explain the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in other ways as well. Ultimately, the Gemara rejects the idea that it's revolving around the machlokas of whether an Arev can be bound where he doesn't have his statement as a guarantor solidified by the signing of Edim, whether he'll be bound to Nechasa Meshubadim as well. And the Gemara rejects that as being the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And then the Gemara analyzes more halachas of the Shtarei Tnaim. And the Gemara concludes that Shtarei Tnaim applies not only to a Naira, but as well to parents of a Bogeres also. This Beis Hashem concludes Daf Kuf Beis in Maseches Ksubos.